Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
You know our trusted partner TireRack.com for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Bridgestone Weatherpeak. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The Volume.
The 3 and Out Podcast with me, John Middlecoff, is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. Great odds and markets for baseball, the NBA, NHL, PGA Tour, and so much more. Awesome new and existing user promotions, America's number one sportsbook, very easy to use, safe and secure, you get your winnings fast. I cannot recommend it enough. Love gambling with FanDuel. If you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code Colin so they know we sent you. What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. Monday night, almost 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And just watched a doubleheader. They called it a doubleheader. To me, a doubleheader, like in baseball, right? Let's play two. Ernie Banks, it's like you play one game, it ends, then you play another game. This game, we started one, then an hour later, the other game started. We'll dive into that. Kind of pissed me off, but I'm going to be positive because Jalen Hurts was balling. Josh Allen was balling. Cousins, not so much. A lot of other stuff. I told you yesterday I was going to talk about the Colts, the Giants, Russell Wilson. He's already copying Tom Brady's social media strategy. I mean, this guy be original. Can Russell Wilson do one original thing? The Raiders and Brian Daboll. Josh McDaniels and Brian Daboll. Two Belichick guys going in different directions. I have a theory why. The Cowboys and the Bengals, watch that game back. I watched it this morning for the first time. I didn't see it yesterday. God, Micah Parsons is good. Joe Burrow running for his life. A lot going on. But if you subscribe on Colin's feed, if you like the show, I know we got a lot of new listeners. Make sure you go to the 3 and Out feed and subscribe to that. Appreciate all everyone that has enjoyed the show, shared the show. Thank you guys very much. As well as the Middlecoff mailbag. At John Middlecoff is the mailbag. Have a couple questions at the end of this show. And then we obviously do one every Sunday now moving forward. Let me first, before we dive into the show, can I tell you about my friends AG1 by Athletic Greens? And listen, I started taking AG1 because I was tired of taking pills. My mom was always big about taking supplemental nutritional pills in the morning. She did it forever, and I tried it. I couldn't do it. And that's where my friends at AG1 came through. And they basically provide you with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day. And here's the thing. All it takes is a cup of water. You pour it in the water, you drink it, it's easy. And you just start having a daily routine of using it. And it's simple, you know, and it tastes good. I've been very, very impressed. I feel better. Helps your immune system, helps with my energy. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/3andout. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/3andout to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Okay, I think it's pretty clear where we need to start. The story of the night. We'll dive into, listen, I'm not trying to be a complainer, but the Monday night doubleheaders when they're an hour apart is a little hard to consume. Now, luckily, kind of blowouts, but let's dive into the Eagles and the team that Howie Roseman built, which is pretty impressive. But it starts with the quarterback. And Jalen Hurts, he's good. Like, it's not really debatable. If that's what Jalen Hurts is going to look like, and I watched him last week against the Lions, and I watched him tonight, you go, that's a really good quarterback. And listen, I'm going to take the L on this one. Because when Jalen Hurts came out of college, I went, he's a running back. I didn't think he could throw. And even last year, the Eagles didn't think he could throw. They changed their offense to be like Oklahoma, and he ran around. They had a run-based offense because here's one thing Jalen Hurts is elite at. His instincts as a runner are top-notch. Like, Kyler and Lamar are two of the better runners we've ever seen, but they are some of the fastest players we've ever seen. They're two of the better athletes in, like, NFL history in terms of explosive speed. Jalen is fast, but by no means is he that fast, is he as quick as those guys. But his innate feel in space, running around, he's powerful, is incredible. And it's been awesome since he played at Alabama and Oklahoma. But to me, the only way you can sustain and be a good quarterback in the NFL, I think we all agree, is throwing the football. And he has become, listen, one thing the Eagles are good at, and we'll dive into Howie here in a second, is when they make a mistake, and listen, they obviously know they made a mistake with Jalen Reagor. If they could do it over, they would have taken Justin Jefferson. That's not how the world works. They don't double down. They don't hold on for long. They got rid of Jalen Reagor fast. And what did they do? They traded for A.J. Brown. And then the year after Reagor, they draft DeVonta Smith, the Heisman Trophy. All of a sudden, they got DeVonta Smith, A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's tight with Jalen. Jalen, here's the thing you can never underestimate with players in the NFL. How much they truly give a shit about getting better. And I know a bunch of people with that in that building, and they said during OTAs and definitely during training camp, they're like, John, this guy is improving. He keeps getting better. Why? He loves football. And even I went, you know, I don't know. I'm still going to be hesitant. Well, they weren't lying because the guy I see right now is playing at a very, very high level. And if he is going to be that dominant of a runner and he is a dominant runner and throw the ball that efficiently, and it's not that hard when you got A.J. Brown, who's a man-child, DeVonta Smith, who's a stud, Goddard, who's a baller as a tight end, and they got a sweet offensive line, and Miles Sanders can run the football, and they got multiple other running backs. It's like their offense is just fully loaded. And if this guy's going to play at that level, like the Eagles are a legitimate NFC contender. I picked him to win the division, but I did it because I didn't like the Cowboys. I thought the Giants were not good. They're actually better than I thought. And the Commanders, like, I'm sorry, I'm not betting on them. I literally did last weekend, and I got burned because they lost to the Lions. And I think it's clear the Eagles are really talented. Hell, they were talented last year when they won 9 games, but they didn't have much of a passing game. And now if they're going to have a passing game, and their defense is clearly better, like, that is a 12-13 win team. Now, Jalen's going to have moments. He's not going to have a perfect season. He'll throw some picks and they'll lose some games. But that is a team that has star power everywhere. And it starts with the quarterback. And listen, they made a pretty crazy move a couple years ago when they drafted him in the second round. I know I was not alone. I thought it was insane. Obviously, a lot of people in Philly thought it was nuts. It's the best thing they ever did. Because Carson Wentz flames out. They have to trade Carson Wentz. Then they go to Jalen. And the rest is history. Now they got a starting quarterback on a second-round contract who's balling and who can run the ball, who is beloved in the locker room. They got a pretty good thing going. And speaking of good thing going, like, Howie has been a pretty polarizing general manager over his career. I was with him at the early part, was part of a playoff team. Now, that was, he was transitioning, Andy was still in control. Then when Andy leaves, everything that happened with Chip. But then post-Chip, like, built a Super Bowl team with a backup quarterback. Pretty impressive. And when they hired Doug Peterson, don't forget, like, not a lot of people were going to hire Doug Peterson. And then when that thing kind of flames out, and listen, I think it was just meant to break up. Doug's going to have success in Jacksonville. He hires Nick Sirianni, which, I'll be honest, I don't follow, like, the Colts and Charger coaching staffs that closely. I didn't know who he was. And he's having some success. Because right now, through 19 games, he's got 11 wins. Not counting the playoff game, which he lost. So you could do 20. So in 20 games, he's got 11 wins, if you even count the playoff game. Like, he's having success. And then you factor in the team, they're always able to make moves and pivot off stuff. He's like Belichick that way. He will not go down with the ship with the guy that he misses on with the draft, i.e. Jalen Reagor, who's on the Vikings. Boom, he'll make a deal, wheel and deal, get A.J. Brown. And a couple years ago, he drafts Dillard, the tackle from Washington State. You know, he's a good player, but ideal left tackle, not really working out. They develop this dude from Australia who was a rugby player who's now one of the better left tackles in the league. Defensively, they're always wheeling and dealing, always making moves. This year, right before the season start, trade for a corner a couple years ago. Darius Slay hates Patricia. Of course he does. Most players do. He trades for him. He's just always doing stuff. And it's not really disputable that if you don't need to be, you know, some football genius to watch his team go, they got a lot of talent all over the field. And most people struggle to pivot off a quarterback. He did it pretty seamlessly. Like, Howie Roseman deserves a lot of credit. Done a pretty good job. Eagles look really good. I think it's fair to say through two games, they feel for real. It feels very sustainable because they're not coming out of nowhere. They won 9 games last year. They added some pieces. They added a big piece in A.J. Brown. They've added some pieces on defense. The coach has a little more experience, and now they look better. I mean, last week, I know it was close to the Lions. Listen, I think the Lions aren't bad. They were up 38-21. It's not like it was close the whole game. Like, they were in complete control. Tonight, they beat the shit out of the Vikings. And I feel pretty confident on this. As long as Kirk Cousins is the quarterback for the Vikings and Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback for the Packers, under no circumstances will I take the Vikings to win the division. I don't see it as possible. Because, listen, do they have good pieces on offense, and as Cousins plays better games than that? Of course he does. But for whatever reason, primetime Cousins, when it comes out, like, it's not really arguable. On the first pick, it's like, well, his offensive line, well, he can't play defense. It's always an excuse. Then you look through, you know, at the end of the game, he's got several picks. And you're like, guys, if you get pressure on him, he crumbles like a cookie. Now, you could argue a lot of quarterbacks do, but look at Thursday night. Herbert, Mahomes, getting peppered, both of them. Neither of them flinched. They just kept making plays, kept making throws. Cousins, you hit him, the whole thing falls apart because he can't really ad-lib. And I'm not saying he's not necessarily tough because he'll stand in there and make the throws. It just doesn't work. He can't execute when he's getting hit. He's just not as talented as the other guys I mentioned. And he can't run. So if he's got to play off script, like Jalen, for example, the guy on the other side, he can't keep the plays alive with his legs. And listen, as long as they got Kirk Cousins, I can't take them seriously as a playoff threat. Now, it's not all his fault. We've seen him before win on the road in New Orleans in a playoff game, so it's not like he's never done it. But their secondary blows. It's terrible. Last time I checked, it's 2022, not 1986. It's a passing league. So if we're playing a bunch of teams, especially once you get into big games that can throw the ball, that have weapons, because most good teams now have a bunch of wide receivers, how do you slow them down if you can't play pass defense? Their pass rush looked pretty anemic tonight. Now, in fairness, Eagles' offensive line's fantastic. But they can't cover anybody. If you can't cover anybody, you got problems in 2022. I think we'd all universally agree on that. And, like, the Eagles just kicked their ass. Now, that's a tough place to play. If Philly is going to be this good and be, like, a legitimate, you know, 12-13-win team, which I believe right now they are, that place is going to rock, whatever, 9 times a year. Last year, I think... Yeah, the NFC gets 9 home games this year. So not eight more times of that. Like, the place is going to be going nuts. I lived there for a couple years. I'm a West Coast guy. Philadelphia treats the Eagles like Tuscaloosa treats Roll Tide. Like Baton Rouge treats the Tigers.
like Athens, Georgia treats the Bulldogs. The Eagles mean everything in that town, and it's a big-time sports city. The Sixers mean a lot. The Phillies mean a lot. Hell, the Flyers mean a lot. But people in that town with the Eagles, fly, Eagles, fly. Every fucking person in town can sing that song, start to finish, by the time they're about 2 years old. They bleed green. It's a really big deal. And now that they think they're good, you know, they're going to have Seattle-type home field vibe. That place is going to be berserk bananas all season long. Makes it for a fun NFL. Football season is underway, so now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up using the promo code COLIN. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from money line to point spreads to player props. You can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. The app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Get paid your winnings fast. So sign up today with promo code COLIN for your no sweat first bet. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bet $5. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 533-42-ARIZONA, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat, Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit fanduel.com/RG, Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP, Louisiana, or 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help, Michigan, 1-877-8 HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369, New York, Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-888-9789, Tennessee, 1-800-522-4700, Wyoming. Visit www.1800gambler.net, West Virginia.
Can I tell you about my friends at Upside? Inflation is hitting us all where it hurts, from cringing at the pump to getting an eye-popping check at your favorite restaurant. Trust me, it really hurts. That's why I started using Upside. Upside is an incredible app for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With every purchase, I'm earning cash back thanks to Upside. To get started, download the free Upside app. Use my promo code 3andOut and get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Next, claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. Check in at business, pay as usual with a credit or debit card, and get paid. In comparison to credit card, rewards, or loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. That's probably why they have a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. Download the free Upside app and use the promo code 3andOut. That's number 3andOut to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using the promo code 3andOut.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Before I dive into Bills Titans, like NFL, ESPN, ABC, one, a little confused why we had a doubleheader. I'm never opposed to more football, but I like a lot of football games on Sunday. Monday night, I want to kick back, be able to watch one game. The Bills are one of the best teams in the league. They might be the best team. And then I got the Eagles game going. It's hard to keep... It's just, listen, I have iPads and stuff, but I don't want to be... It's just too much. It's too much, you know? If you're going to go a doubleheader on Monday, which I'm not opposed to, you know, I've been working from home well before the vid. I've been working from home for about 7 years. Could we go 2 and 5? Could you start at East Coast time at 5 o'clock, 2 o'clock on the West Coast? I don't care. But to do the 4:15, 5:30, like, screw that. That's unfair to the consumer. We lose out as a consumer. Advertisers lose out. Not a fan of that. I'm pro more football. I'm pro football on television. I'm not anti-streaming games or anything, unless it's DirecTV. They had some issues yesterday. What are we doing? I understand ESPN's been a little rudderless for years. They got some issues. But you would think Monday Night Football is kind of their baby. They get Joe and Troy. What was going on tonight? Now, it was hard once the Eagle game starts. Luckily, the Bills beat the living crap out of them. I don't know if there's that much to take away from the Bills-Titans game. Josh Allen threw 4 touchdowns. Well, of course, he's arguably the best player in the league. Stephon Diggs had 3 touchdowns, dominated. Well, he's been one of the best wide receivers, really, even when Minnesota had him, let alone once he got traded to Josh Allen. The Bills are a dominant team. We knew this. Like, I didn't necessarily learn anything different. They are really, really good. To me, it's like them and the Chiefs, right? And can the Chiefs' defense, which is much improved, hang with them? And can the Bills' defense, which I think they've gone all in on this pass rush and pass secondary, can that handle Mahomes, which probably isn't as scary without Tyreek Hill, who's now in Miami? But, like, I can't put Baltimore, you blow a 35-14 lead, like, I can't put you in their class. Miami, I'm sorry. I know Tua had one great game, but I am not putting you in that class. The Chargers, you literally just had the chance to beat the Chiefs, and you can't do it. So I think there is a class alone. Like, let's face it, I would say the Bills look probably a little better than the Chiefs, but until you beat the Chiefs, which last time I checked, the Chiefs beat them 2 years in a row, like, I'm going to give the Chiefs the slight edge. But if I was a Bills fan, I would be pretty freaking excited. I would be pretty happy and getting ready to see that matchup. I would like my chances, because my chances with Josh Allen, who looks like John Elway meets Dan freaking Marino, Diggs looks like Jerry freaking Rice, and my defense is flying around crushing folks, I understand the Titans aren't that good. And listen, if I'm a Titans fan and we're 0-2 and we were just the number one seed, here's what I would say. Your division stinks. So at 0-2, you are right in that thing. Mike Vrabel's a good coach. Even though your team looks a little off, and it might be a little bit of a rebuilding year, but you're not dead by any means. Because could 7-10 win that division? Let's speak honestly. Could 7-10 win the division? Colts suck. The Jags are going to be up and down all season. And the Texans just, they're not that talented. So why couldn't 7-10 compete to win that division? The Bills, they look like a 16-win team. And I think the betting philosophy on them moving forward, no matter how big the spread is, I might be betting on them because they are housing people through 2 games. I mean, they don't even feel, you know, the difference between college and pro? Like, when you get a college team and it's good, USC, Bama, Georgia, whatever, and there's a gap in the talent, and you're like, you know, is this game going to get out of hand? And it does. And then all of a sudden you look up and it's 50-10. It's 60-7. That doesn't really happen in the NFL. Even an ass kicking can be like 20-7. Like, the Dolphins kicked the Patriots' ass week 1. The final score was 20-7. The 49ers beat the living crap out of the Seahawks. It was 27-7. In college, that game is 60-10. But the Bills are doing what college teams do to other NFL teams. The Rams won the Super Bowl. I know the Titans are missing some pieces, but they were the one seed and have a really good coach, and they curb stomped them. So tonight, to me, the story is Jalen Hurts. The story is the Eagles. They look for real. Cousins, like, same old story. We've seen that, we've seen that thing before. But the Bills, I think we all expected them, you know, to be a powerhouse. Might be better than expected. And if I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm keeping a close eye on them. You know, we've been to 4 straight AFC championships. You know, we want to get back to that Super Bowl. Bills haven't been to the Super Bowl, obviously, in a long time, since I was a little kid, early 90s. They feel for real. So let's, and ESPN, ABC, can we, you know, stagger these games a little bit differently? Like, I am your consumer. I've literally dedicated my life. This is how I feed my unborn children. And I felt it was a pain in the ass. It's Monday night. It's not Sunday. Sunday, I'm used to it. Flipping around channels, part of the deal. Monday, a little different. So let's figure that thing out moving forward. Okay, let's dive around the league. I I don't even know where to start. But this was a team that, you know, I've been very bullish on for years, an organization and definitely a general manager, you know, that I think is considered a scout, high-level guy. People like him. He's done a good job. But sometimes, you know, the reality of a team is you just, something's off. Something is wrong. And now dating back to the final two games in 2021, or I guess, yeah, 21, I guess we're in 22 now, the Indianapolis Colts lost to the Raiders, and then in a must-win game in Jacksonville, they lost. Obviously, this year, they opened up with a tie against the Texans, who most people thought was going to be pretty bad, and they lost to the Jags again. So in their last four games with Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan, they are 0-3-1 with two losses to the Jags, a team that consistently drafts basically number one overall. I mean, their last two picks have literally been number one overall. Now, they have a credible coach. They're a much better operation. Let's face it. Trevor Lawrence, I was thinking this yesterday, flipping around my new Sunday ticket. First time I've ever got Sunday tickets. So, you know, I'm flying around. I don't have to rewatch games, watching Red Zone, flying around on the... Trevor Lawrence, the gap between him and the other four cats in that draft class is going to widen like the Grand Canyon over the next year. It ain't even going to be close. So maybe as it ages, it's not a terrible loss. But when you lose 24 to nothing, your head coach, I've been saying this for a while. I don't know him. I've never met him. Clearly is well thought about. Was a longtime backup quarterback. Had a historic moment when he filled in for Jim Kelly with the Buffalo Bills. Was an integral part as an assistant coach on an Eagles team that won the Super Bowl first time in franchise history. People like him. He's a good guy. But like you got to separate. Like, listen, Andy Reid's a good guy. He's also a really good coach. Mike Tomlin, a good guy. Pretty damn good coach. Right? You could be a good guy and a good coach. There have been a lot of good guys that couldn't coach themselves out of a wet paper bag. And I think we need to start asking ourselves the question, does Frank know what he's doing? And I don't mean like, can he just coach a team? Can he win? They missed the playoffs last year. They're lucky they're not dead or anything at 0-2, even though they look completely lifeless because their division, I'm recording this part before the Titans game, but regardless, Titans are... They didn't win the first week, and I think we all know they're a little worse than they have been over the previous years. The Jags might be the best team in the division. Well, the Jags don't get to play the Colts every week because when the Jags don't play the Colts, they're going to be a little more human. But is Frank Reich good? To me, that's just a question. And listen, the owner, who is batshit crazy, who you know was caught a couple years ago with drugs and cash, like let's face it, the dude's got some issues outside of the office. Yeah, I don't know if Jim Irsay, very entertaining. I like his Twitter account. It makes me laugh. But I don't know if he's the most stable individual. Now, in fairness to him, he's hired really well over the years. Hired Bill Polian. They drafted Peyton Manning. You know, they kind of lucked into Andrew Luck, hired Ryan Grigson and Pagano. That was a disaster. He hired Chris Ballard, who everyone would have hired. He was like the number one GM on the market. But we're seeing George Payton was the Chris Ballard of the last couple years. We all admit George Payton's doing a pretty good job. George Payton's doing a really good job drafting players. He kind of did a no-brainer trade, what felt like for Russell Wilson. Hired Nathaniel Hackett. Who you are as a GM is more than just the fucking draft, right? I think we love just how do you draft? Well, the most two important things you can do is find a quarterback and find a coach. Now, in fairness to Ballard on Frank, different than Payton or Patton with Nathaniel Hackett, is that he had hired Josh McDaniels. And then Josh McDaniels clearly left him at the altar. His back was against the wall. But this isn't working. Like, it feels kind of over. Now, one thing that's a little out of their control, when they both got the job, they thought Andrew Luck was going to be the quarterback and he retired. But then they have made some mistakes. Clearly the most effective guy that they got was kind of an over-the-hill Phillip Rivers. Led him to 11 wins to the playoffs. And they had a chance to win that playoff game against the Ravens. Jacoby, let's face it, is a backup. Carson Wentz, people think he's weird and teammates don't like and the owner couldn't stand. Matt Ryan. So the coach we don't think is any good, which I don't know how you could think that at this current time. Matt Ryan has had a fantastic career. I'll never forget being at Cal Poly, living on this halfway street. It was the party street. Watching on like a Thursday night, it was either Thursday or Friday night, The Matt Ryan Boston College game where they were down 14 points for like 3 minutes to go and he threw two crazy touchdowns. They ended up winning the game. It's like, who the hell is this guy? Turned out to be the number three overall pick. Became Matt Ryan, MVP, playoff guy. It's over. Like, it's he's shot. And here's the other thing that Matt Ryan now on this team, that in some of his moments with Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez and Julio Jones, like, they don't have any weapons. They have a really good running back who's an elite player. But when Pittman's out, like, let's face it, I like Michael Pittman. Michael Pittman's probably a two. Like, they're not a very explosive offense. And they've kind of hung their hat on defense the last couple years. Well, you're losing 24-0. Like, you got to score points to have a chance to win an NFL game. The Colts are in shambles. I think the coach is headed down a path that he's going to get fired. And then the question is, I wouldn't fire Chris Ballard. I would give him another chance. Usually GMs get multiple coaches. I would give him the opportunity to hire a different coach, but it's also on Chris. Like, you keep going to bat for this guy. Eventually, we gotta admit what's really going on, right? Sometimes parents do this a lot. They like to stay in denial about a child. We do this a lot in society, right, with our significant other, denial about the way our relationship's going. Sometimes the GM, even if you like the guy personally, and I understand being in a business relationship with someone you like a lot personally, but the business is pretty black and white. You're either having success or you're not. You're either winning or you're not. And right now, it's a fucking disaster. So I think Chris Ballard's kind of got to look himself in the mirror and go, does he have the capability? And turn on sounds too strong, but to fire Frank. Because that might be the way that he saves his job. Because I don't think, I would not fire Chris Ballard. But if Chris Ballard is going to like jump in front of the firing line for Frank Reich, then maybe he deserves to get fired. So, I mean, Chris got to do some internal thinking here because, like, Indy is just, they're not good. And to me, it starts with the quarterback and the offense, which is the head coach's deal. Someone that actually is, I don't know if they're good or not. I thought they were going to be a top five drafting team. You win four or five games in the first couple months, like, you might end up with 6 or 7 wins. I watched the Giants. Like, I do not like their quarterback, but their team is tough. They're much. Think about this. I was thinking about this with Brian Daboll. I went today, Monday morning, to his Wikipedia page. And I don't think some people might not realize this. He's been in the National Football League since 2000. He's been coaching on Sundays for over 20 years. He's only 47 years old. So since he was about 26, 27, he's been in the NFL. And I think a lot of people consider him a Belichick guy. Well, let's think about two Belichick guys. We'll dive into the Raiders, who are 0-2, and the Giants, who are 2-0. Now, I saw Josh McDaniels say after the game, we have to learn how to win. I had to read that twice. Josh, you're inheriting a 10-win team. Max Crosby, Derek Carr, Hunter Renfro, those guys won literally last year. Colton Miller. Your players, Chandler Jones, played for the Patriots and the Cardinals. They were in the playoffs last year. So your core players not only know how to win, they literally did it last year on this team. And then the number one guy you traded for, I don't know, has won 13 games a year just the last 3 years. The Packers have been the number one seed 2 out of the last 3 years. So your core Raider guys and then acquiring Devontae Adams, they literally all know how to win. And I said week 1, like, I put that thing on Derek, right? You can't overcome a guy throwing a bunch of picks. It's hard to overcome Daniel Jones, who's really not doing much. But if you don't turn the ball over, like Tom Brady the other day, and Jameis does, in a tight game, you're going to win. And Derek Carr, it was his fault week 1. Well, I'm watching week 2, like, I'm sorry, this is Josh McDaniels. Like, hey, Josh, you're up 23-7. Your offense is humming. You got to win that game. Under no circumstances, a team, like, obviously Kyler pulled some you-know-what out of who knows where, but he did, and he's a remarkable talent. But up 23-7 in the third quarter, when a team is basically tapping out, you cannot lose. Like, that thing's on Josh McDaniels. And think about Josh McDaniels and Brian Daboll. The only success Josh McDaniels has ever had has been with Bill Belichick. That's the only time. And I think we have a long history now to kind of realize that the Belichick coaching cocoon in New England has been pretty awesome for those guys. But the moment they get out of the cocoon, they struggle. I saw it when I got to Cal Poly. A lot of guys struggled with drugs and drinking and other stuff that it's like they had never seen in their life. And I'm not pounding my chest here, not proud of everything, but by the time I got to college, like in high school, I'd done a lot. I'd lived a little bit. Part of it was like my parents just allowed me to just kind of, you know, make my own decisions. I'm not saying they weren't strict or whatever, but I wasn't by any means living in some cocoon. So when I got to Cal Poly and I saw some pretty crazy things, if I would have seen them for the first time, who knows? Maybe I get overwhelmed. Maybe I fail out of school. I don't know. But when I got there, I was pretty kind of in a weird way. I'm not trying to act like I was super mature, but I was mature to the sense of it was easy for me not to go out drinking Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It was easy for me to say no to drugs. I had been around them for 3 or 4 years in high school. And I think a lot of guys get overwhelmed with that. I know a ton of people in my experience that got to college and failed out and transferred and couldn't handle it, right? Just like a lot of Belichick's guys get to the league, or I mean, get their own job, and they're completely overwhelmed and they utterly fail. They utterly fail. I think it's fair to say that Matt Patricia, Eric Mangini, some of these guys are probably not as dumb as the way we talk about them. And Josh McDaniels, I think, is the guy that we hold to the highest regard because of like his deal with Tom Brady, the offense. Yet he finally gets an opportunity with a team that won 10 games last year, and now he's 0-2, and it's just like, what is going on? Where Brian Daboll, who is considered a Belichick guy, I went to his Wikipedia page. I knew some of it. He went so many different places. He went to the Browns. He went to the Dolphins as an offensive coordinator, and he failed. He's obviously a Saban guy, too, and that he went to Nick Saban in 2017 and was the offensive coordinator after going back to New England. So he'd kind of been like a Joe Judge. Only had success in New England and with Saban. But then his major difference is he went to a non-Belichick guy in 2018, a guy named Sean McDermott, and he got around Josh Allen. And for 4 years outside of the Belichick cocoon, he got to just have experiences. He got to learn. He got to develop a quarterback. He got to fail a little bit, and he obviously got to have a lot of success. And to me, I'm always a huge believer in the impact of experience. We're seeing it with Trey Lance. Like, to me, Trey Lance has looked in a short time completely overwhelmed. It's way too fast for him. And the reason is he has no experience. Like, why can Kyler Murray or Jalen Hurts or some of these guys look so, Josh Allen look so comfortable running around? Because they have instincts because they've been doing it for so long. Trey really hasn't. He doesn't even have the reps in college. So the experience you have when you're a coach going different places, Kyle Shanahan, we just act like, oh, he just worked for his dad in Washington. And then he worked like three other places before he became a head coach. And that really benefits any human being. The more, like when I left the NFL, I worked in radio. Now I've been doing the Collins stuff. Like I've got to do multiple different, I got to dabble in TV locally in San Francisco. I kind of got to dabble my hands in different things. It's made me much more capable in 2022 because all the things I got to experience under the media umbrella. I didn't just become a podcaster in 2013 and it all worked out. No, I tried this. I failed at this. I did a little bit of this. Didn't like this. And that is a big deal. Like, I'm not saying Josh McDaniels, I don't believe in the guy, because everyone I know that have been around him, they think too highly of him. I've played golf with guys that have played for Josh McDaniels. They fucking love him. They think he's a really high-level guy. But I'm sorry. Like, I gotta, like, question, is he just going to kick ass and take names? Where Brian Daboll, his team is not very talented. Even Giants fans, you guys would have to admit, like, you're not the most talented team, and you don't even have a quarterback. Yet I'm watching, because I bet on the Panthers. I literally bet against the guy. And to me, as what I do now, what I learn the most about another team, when I can really dissect them, is when I'm either gambling on them or gambling against the team. And I've been impressed. I mean, the bald dude just kind of knows what he's doing. Of course he does. He's been around the block a few times. So while he's under 50, just go to his Wikipedia page, all over the place. But I don't think we can discount how much he probably grew as a coach over the last 4 years outside of the Belichick and even the Saban cocoon. Because let's face it, for 20 plus years, if you coached under Belichick, you won. And for the last 10, if you coached under Nick, you won. But it doesn't guarantee when you leave them that you're going to win. And when you go to other places and you also have success, then maybe you're just a good coach. Maybe Brian Daboll, I don't know, is just a good coach. And I think about 2 years ago, I think Brian Daboll Wright and Tom Telesco, or I guess it was Greg Roman. It was Greg Roman that him and Telesco went to school. But remember, Brian Daboll was in the mix for the Charger job, and they went Brandon Staley instead. You don't think if you were a Charger fan with Justin Herbert, you'd rather have the Colin's been talking about this for a long time. You watch the Chargers play, like, where is the innovation? What are we doing? You're just dinking and dunking. Can you imagine if you had Brian Daboll there instead of a defensive head coach? And listen, I'm not acting like Brandon Staley isn't a good defensive coach now that they got players. Their defense looks awesome. But their offense just leaves a little something to be desired. To me, I always lean offense when I got a quarterback. Every single time. If I'm hiring from scratch. I get, like, if you have Harbaugh or Tomlin, some of these guys are already there. But I'm saying if I'm starting from scratch and I'm hiring the coach, I think he'd like a redo. So the Giants, impressive. The Raiders, what a terrible loss. And talking about non-impressive is the Denver Broncos. And I think people thought I was nuts when I picked him to come in fourth. Now, it's pretty clear them and the Raiders are probably going to battle it out for that, that distinction for season's end. And they both got some things going for them, and they both got some question marks. But one thing is very clear, that Nathaniel Hackett is completely over his head. He has been, through two games, an utter disaster. I mean, an utter disaster. And speaking of, like, the Daboll Josh McDaniels, think about Nate Hackett, who was not viewed anywhere near being a head coach in the league up until the last couple years, when he was part of an operation as the offensive coordinator, where not only did he not call plays, the head coach did, but they were playing with one of the great quarterbacks and really one of the great players in the history of sports, who completely resurrected his career and started becoming an MVP again and just kicked ass, took names, and dominated everyone. Nate Hackett, gregarious guy, big smile, seems really likable. And like I said with Frank Reich, there is sometimes you got to separate, I really like this guy, I love his energy. Does he have any clue what he's doing? Because I flip on the Broncos game yesterday. I watched it this, I didn't watch the whole thing, and this morning I watched it, but with no sound. But yesterday, I flip it on while the game's going on. And the first play that I get to is Nate Hackett, the Broncos call a timeout. And they are, it's punt. But they're not the punting team, they're the punt return team. And even the announcer's like, why did he call? Oh, they did not have a punt returner on the field. So it's one thing, the clock management. Like, I do believe that, and listen, I'm guilty as well, is that we are very critical of clock management. It's pretty clear that's hard. Most every guy, every academic on their couch watching TV thinks they could be a head coach. None of them could sniff doing the job. Not absolutely none of them. But, and listen, I'm guilty too. I scream at the television to call timeouts. There are, it feels like, some basic things. But I think we have a long history now that the overwhelming majority of coaches struggle with it. It's fast. You're on the field. You're not relaxed on a couch. It's hard. So even if I gave him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, when you do things like consistent penalties and then things like guys not being on the field, that is a direct reflection of coaching and communication, which ultimately is on the coaching staff and the head coach to communicate everything to the players. The Belichick New England mantra is you're either coaching it or allowing it to happen. So anything that happens is being allowed by the coaching staff. That's the way this sport works. This is not the NBA where it's like, hey, Kevin Durant, just dribble around, score us 50, dog. You know, go get it. Go get it, LeBron. Carry our ass in the playoffs. It's like, that's not how the NFL works. Every single play of every single game, there is a play call. Now, part inside plays, like part of Kyler Murray is his insane instincts. Lamar Jackson. It's what I questioned with Trey Lance. Like, does he have any instincts? Like, there is... Even in every play, sometimes you have to ad-lib. If everyone in the business community just did what academia told us in theories on the whiteboard, supply, demand, we'd all be in the gutter. Because a lot of the great companies and the way our society functions is because of people that trusted their gut, trusted their instincts, and didn't act on the black and white device or advice, right? If you do this, this will happen. That's not the way the world works, right? No different than a play call. If I call whatever the play call is, this guy's going to be open against that coverage. And in theory, he should be. But then all of a sudden, the DB cheats or the wide receiver falls and he's not. Does the quarterback freak out or does he go, no, I know what to do. I'll scramble around. I'll throw it to this guy. I'll point this out. You got to be an instinctive football player. You cannot be a robot. No different than being a head coach. And I don't think you can learn to be a great head coach. One, like there is only a small percentage of people that even have the capability to succeed at doing it. And then I think clearly early on with some guys, you know, this guy doesn't have it. This guy is completely overwhelmed. And one of their biggest problems is might not even just be the head coach. It might be the quarterback is a shell of himself. Because separate from what we've talked about of being a weird guy and just being a little out there and not being the most relatable human, which I'm sorry, I think is pretty important at quarterback. Brady has it. Even Rodgers, clearly, like, guys get along with him. Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar, like, these guys relate with their guys. Like, you can't, like, you can be stern on guys that are still, I don't know, your homies, your friends, people that, you know, admire you, that look up to you, that want to hang out with you. You kind of got to hang out with other people. It's part of the deal. You can't just isolate yourself. Now, if you are going to be like that, you better be elite. You better be elite. Right. Let's just say Steph Curry, hypothetically, was a weirdo. No one liked him. You know, he's good enough that he could probably overcome it. Now, he happens to be an incredible teammate. People love him and everyone gets along with him. But if you're going to be the best of the best, like you can get along with being a little out there. The moment you're not as great and you're a weirdo, like, I'm sorry, it's over. And to me, I'm watching him. If Russell Wilson used to be a 9, right, like a 9 out of 10, right, if like Rodgers and Brady and Mahomes were like 10s, I never thought he was on that level, but he was damn good. He was consistently like somewhere between like the 4th to 6th best quarterback. And on a given week, he could be the best player in the league. Well, I'm watching a guy that just doesn't look the same. And part of it, having watched 2 Seattle games this year, DK Metcalf, when he got to the Seattle, he kind of helped like make Russell look even better. Well, why do you think that is? I don't know. He's 6'4", he's 225 pounds, and he runs like a 4.040. He is, you know, one of the biggest physical freaks we've ever seen, like a Julio, like a Terrell Owens. And I see Russell Wilson throwing up these balls like it's DK Metcalf, and it ain't DK Metcalf. So you know what happens? It's not working. I watch Russell's deep ball. It still looks beautiful in the air. You know what the problem is sometimes? Wide receiver's covered. There's a DB right there. Doesn't work as well. Now, I know they've had some wide receiver injuries, but the simple reality is that for the majority of Russell's career, before DK showed up, they had random wide receivers. I mean, Baldwin's a solid player. I like Doug Baldwin, right? Golden Tate had some moments, but they never had a guy like that. They had a guy like that, and Russell even took the next step, especially those first 2 years with DK. It was like, Russell Wilson. They give him all this money. They make the trade. I don't blame them for making that trade. I think it was a pretty no-brainer trade to make. If you and I ran Denver, and we were presented with, hey, you can trade us Woods and Fant and give us a couple ones. Here, give me Russell Wilson. I would have done it too. But just because you would have done it doesn't mean 6 months later, 2 years later, it might turn out to be a disaster. And of course, once they make the trade, they're going to pay him. So I understand why they did all this, but it's not looking good. And, you know, I like the Niners. I did not like the Niners at all this week. I thought before Trey Lance got hurt, I had this game circled of thinking, this is a game that Trey's got 3 picks, overwhelmed, and the Broncos just smother them. Now I look at the game and I go, yeah, I like the Niners to win. Kyle Shanahan versus Nate Hackett. Jimmy Garoppolo is much more comfortable in a crazy environment on the road. Denver's already turning on their team. Don't blame them. I never blame fans who are the consumers, and the reason this all exists. Without the fans watching and going to the games, there would be zero money. This would be just, you know, no different than pickup football. That's what it is. It's the billion-dollar business because of the consumer. And the consumer gives a shitload of their time, and their time now equals a shitload of money for the league. And when I give you a lot of time and you're an embarrassment, I don't understand booing, you know, guys that get injured or if a team's playing well and you have a tough loss. But when you're blowing timeouts and there's no punt returner, and Russell Wilson's getting delay of games. Like, I'm sorry. I support the fans on this one. They're in the right on this one. Because the Denver Broncos, if you're 40 years old, like, you know what good football looks like, and you know what terrible football looks like. It wasn't that long ago that Peyton Manning had a high-level operation there with Denver. And listen, we're all watching this. They feel like a low-level team right now. They clearly have some talent. I said it over and over. Everyone, Coward picked them to be like the second-best team in the league. I can't just pick a team, even if they get Russell Wilson, that just because they got really good players, when those really good players have never won. We have a long history in sports, baseball, basketball, and football, team sports. I'm sure hockey too. I'm not a hockey fan. Where teams that have a lot of talent never win anything, right? Sometimes the Patriots historically were not the most talented teams, especially that second iteration of the championship teams. Like Julian Edelman was their best receiver. I know they had Brady and Gronk, but they didn't have Lawrence Taylor and Ray Lewis walking through that door. But they were winners. They understood how to win and make winning plays. I'm watching the Broncos going, I don't know, man. I don't see it. And then I know we all question their coach. Like, does he know how to teach them to make winning plays? And then you got Russell being kind of a weirdo, screaming at people to do weird things. So who knows if it's going to work? I don't know. But like I look a little differently at the AFC West. Josh McDaniels, do I have a lot of faith? I've lost some. The Denver Broncos, they're worse than I thought. I picked them to go fourth, but I still thought they'd win 9 games. I just thought that Chiefs or the Chargers would win 12 or 13. You know, other team would win 11, Raiders would win 10, and that team would win 8 or 9. Now it's like, who knows? If you told me that they went 6-11 and it's just a historical disaster at coach, like we've seen it before. Oh, last but not least, I watched this game, so I want to talk about it. The Bengals and the Cowboys. Two takeaways from the Cowboys. Cooper Rush, good player. You know, we've seen him make 2 starts, he's won 2 games. How many backups? Jimmy Garoppolo is not a backup. That's a very unique situation. Like a true backup. Chase Daniel, Chad Haney, Cooper Rush can just, their last 2 starts, they're 2-0. And different than that Minnesota start last year, watching him against the Bengals, like I took away, like, this guy's a pretty good player. He has a good arm. He's pretty accurate. He's very poised. I was impressed. Especially, I had to look up. I'm like, did he get drafted? No, he's an undrafted free agent. Now, I'm not acting, and I'm sure people have said it, like, he's already better than Dak. I'm not saying that. But if that's your backup, I will give the Cowboys a lot of credit. That is an excellent backup. That is an excellent contingency plan. And there's an element of luck because of the COVID year, and the dude didn't play. Because I do think if he played his junior year for Penn State, there isn't a snowball's chance in the hottest part of hell that Micah Parsons makes it past 11 teams. I think it's absolutely impossible. It would never happen. I think if you redo that draft, shit, the 49ers might have traded 3 first-rounders to get him. You know, if you could, hey, Kyle, who would you take? I think we'd take Micah Parsons instead of Trey Lance. I would say, yes, that would be a good move. Guy's incredible. I don't even know. You know, Von Miller is a stand-up guy, was so fast. This guy has speed like that and the ability to bend. But he's also so powerful. He's got this power like he's, I wouldn't quite say like peak Khalil Mack, but he's got some power like that. He is a dominant, dominant player. So when I watch the Cowboys, I go, you know who's really carrying them? Dan Quinn and Micah Parsons. Because never forget when Mike McCarthy got the job, I remember thinking, this is the most insane thing I've ever seen. Just because this guy 15 years ago hired you, you're going to make him your defensive coordinator. And remember, it was a historical disaster. In Mike Nolan. I spotted that thing from the moon. I mean, it's like, what are we doing here? Completely disaster. It was even worse than I thought. Immediately fired. And then, like, am I giving Mike McCarthy that much credit? I would imagine the Jones, kind of a no-brainer once he got fired, they hired Dan Quinn. It's changed their franchise. It's given them a chance because offensively, CD looked a lot better against the Bengals. Their best running back, and I don't even think it's that close, is number 20. Pollard is dramatically faster than Zeke. And I like Zeke. I'm not like some Zeke hater. I love a good physical back. I love a guy that can catch. I love a guy that will block. Like, I respect Zeke a lot. I do, because I think playing running back at the level in which he plays it in terms of his physicality is so hard. You're constantly taking on linebackers, helping with defensive linemen, taking on hits. Like, he's lost a step because of all the pounding. I have a lot of respect for Zeke. But the other guy's way better, and he's way more explosive. CeeDee Lamb. I think Schultz got hurt, but defensively, their DBs make plays left and right, and 11 is all over the field. Now, I know the Bengals, like, their offensive line's got issues. Listen, did he catch lightning in a bottle of last year, Zach Taylor? Like, is Zach Taylor good? I don't know. Because I watched Burrow. He's awesome. Their two receivers are sweet. I had no clue. I underestimated Higgins in college. I thought it was like, I wouldn't say an overdraft, but I was like, I don't know. And he's been fantastic. And Jamar is a dominant player, and Mixon's a stud. I mean, they got weapons everywhere. But offensive line-wise, they are really struggling. Now, granted, like, Anthony Munoz might be hit or miss with Micah Parsons right now. I hear a lot of people going, you know, it's sacrilegious to compare him to Lawrence Taylor. Like, guys, we can just admit, like, right now, the guy is playing like a Hall of Fame level player. Is he Lawrence Taylor? Of course not. Lawrence Taylor did it for like a decade. But if he keeps playing like this, we'll consider him like the 2020s Lawrence Taylor. Because right now, there is nobody. Like, Trent Williams would have problems with the guy. He is a monster. He's got speed. He's got counter moves. He's got spin moves. He's got a power move. He moves around like he's like a running back or a wide receiver in terms of agility. He's a fucking badass. So I don't know the Bengals. Everyone's like, oh, they couldn't block him. Nobody can. But the Bengals are now 0-2. You know, if Zach Taylor was fired tomorrow, I know he went to the Super Bowl last year. Would there be a lot of teams lining up? Would there? I'm not sure. I wouldn't hire him. He wouldn't be my first call. But props to the Cowboys. Literally every game I picked last week from a gambling perspective and then in my own head, I would have missed every single one. That's the hard part about the transition from week one to week two. Everything you see, a lot of it completely swings the other way. But that was a big win for old Mike and Cooper Rush.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. They help you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else. Did you know 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites? LinkedIn's the only one I use. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/john. That's linkedin.com/john to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Sometimes it's a struggle between buying what you want over buying what you need. But with the Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card, you can do both. You earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you can earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. Earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like those new golf clubs you've been eyeing. And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a divot repair tool for after you've torn up your lawn. Let's try that again. Earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like workout equipment for your home. And then earn 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller to soothe your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash credit card. It's ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Okay, let's do a couple Middlecoff mailbags, and then I'll get you out of here. I don't know how long this will take to make the mailbag, but I have a question. Is Zach Taylor over his skis? I've seen this play out with Marvin Lewis. Sometimes the coach doesn't fit the system and personnel. Am I wrong? Or is Taylor just lost? Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people would go, well, they made the Super Bowl last year. And I'd go, yeah, I think Joe Burrow is just pulling you-know-what out of his butt. Do I think Zach Taylor is some dominant guy? I don't. Do I think if Zach Taylor was fired tomorrow, he'd be hired again next year? I do not. Seems like a nice guy. I heard him when he was on with Coward, but do I think he's a big-time coach? I don't. I just see Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and Higgins just kind of do everything. I felt like last year he would try to screw things up. But, you know, their offensive line, he's not the personnel guy. Mike Brown and his staff is. And their offensive line does not look good. So I can't put that all on him. Now, maybe his coaching staff influenced who they signed. I'm sure they did. But it's ugly out there. Not as big Zach Taylor guy. As a coach, nice guy probably. Relatively new listener, but love your NFL takes and you shed light on the business side of sports. As a lifelong Niner fan, I have mixed feelings on their quarterback situation. I was very optimistic on seeing Trey Lance and his growth this year, and I felt it was great with the Jimmy as an insurance policy. Now that Lance is out for the season, what does this mean for the future outlook at quarterback? Let's say best case scenario happens and Jimmy gets them over the hump with a Super Bowl win. Do you move to re-sign Jimmy and punt on Trey Lance? Or do you let Jimmy walk and put all your eggs in the basket of an unproven quarterback? I feel like there are so many different layers to this. It's pretty crazy. On a most basic level, if Trey Lance had not broken his ankle, but he was out several weeks, and Jimmy came back, Jimmy would have the job. There have been rumblings, Mike Silver has been reporting, that the players on the team wanted Jimmy Garoppolo to be the quarterback. Why? Because it wasn't an open competition. Trey Lance couldn't have beaten Jimmy Garoppolo out. Now, I'm not some Jimmy Garoppolo stan, but having watched Trey Lance in training camp and then in the preseason and then in the Chicago game, like, he's not ready. Not for a Super Bowl team. If the Niners sucked, you would just play him, whatever. But this team, Trent Williams, Juszczyk, Debo, Fred Warner, Bosa, I mean, these guys are trying to win the Super Bowl. And they want, did you see their celebration when Jimmy came into the game? It's not because they don't like Trey the guy. Trey is not remotely ready. Not remotely ready as a passer. And as a runner, like watch Jalen Hurts, how instinctive he is. Trey's not instinctive as a runner. He's not a very instinctive player. I'll be honest, I get very excited with physical attributes, and Trey's got physical attributes. In theory, he's a good athlete, and he's got a big arm. But that doesn't mean you become a good player. And so far watching him, like, everyone's like, why is Kyle running him so much? I don't know, because he's an inaccurate quarterback. And if you have him throw all the time, like last week when they couldn't run the ball, what happened? Now you'd be like, it's a monsoon, and it was. But Jimmy is dramatically better than Trey right now. And the reality of sports, there's no guarantee that Trey ever becomes good. I usually bet on smart players that care about football, but you just no guarantee. Because not everyone that's inaccurate becomes accurate. And then you go, how do you close that gap? Well, how did Jalen Hurts do it? The first year and a half, he wasn't an accurate, good thrower of the football. So what did he do? He ran around. Well, Trey Lance runs around. One, part of the reason he's making the wrong reads. Like, he's not a natural zone read quarterback. When Debo had his big 50-yard run, he should have kept it. Debo just pulled the play out of his ass. He made four guys miss. On the play that he was hurt, if he hands it off to Ray-Ray, and people are like, well, the defensive end was there. The defensive end wouldn't have sniffed Ray-Ray, and Ray-Ray would have walked into the end zone. Part of being a football player is not just following the playbook. It's about having instincts. Well, this guy was supposed to be there. He's not, and now I pivot. It's no different. I say it all the time. In business, same thing. Having instincts. You got to trust your gut. Why is Lamar and Jalen and Kyler, why are they so good on the fly? Because they're instinctive players as mobile quarterbacks. Before Deshaun Watson chased every massage therapist you know, known to in Texas. You know, he was a very instinctive player. Before Russell Wilson got fat, he was instinctive as a mobile quarterback. I watched Trey. I don't see any instincts. And you go, why isn't he instinctive? Well, he's barely played. When would he have built instincts? It's not like he was a three-year starter at North Dakota State. He played one season against, let's face it, pretty low-level competition. I'm not trying to write the guy off, but my opinion, I got nervous watching him. He does not instill confidence into me playing. Now, obviously, he shattered his ankle, which is awful. No one roots for that. But I know who looked pretty happy. The 49ers, the team, pretty crazy. So I think they have a much... I didn't have much faith. Like, I didn't view them as a lock playoff team the more I watched Trey Lance. Because how was he going to win on the road? The Bears stink. They scored 10 points. Think about that. They scored 10 points against the Bears. 10. Hey, John, first time. I've actually never done anything like this before, but you seem like a genuine guy, so I thought I'd give it a try. Lifelong Bears fan, 23 years old. I keep telling myself we have to have patience, trust the process. It's difficult to do since I've only witnessed two successful seasons, 07 and 2018. Although they got beat in the first round, I think didn't you guys go to the NFC Championship game in 2010? You've seen three. I understand they are overwhelming the odds that the team completely sucks this year. All I'm asking for is during the year we witness something that resembles a functioning team, something that helps me say, if we get the right guys in here with the scheme, we could definitely compete. Am I asking too much, too soon, in a rebuilding process? Side note, do you think the NFL has gone too soft on quarterbacks on the offensive personnel with these penalties? It seems like even when you chest someone up, you hit them too hard. You're going to get a draw flag. I understand promoting player safety, but in my opinion, I agree. It's 2022. I say this in college all the time. No one's trying to hurt anyone anymore. There are no... This isn't the 1978 Raiders. This isn't the 1985 Bears. People are not trying to break other people's arms, sternums, and legs. Everyone is just trying to tackle people. It's a violent game, but I think we all agree no one's trying to hurt anyone anymore. You're trying to inflict pain when you hit someone hard, but the days of back-in-the-day football are over. So when I see nothing, and I mean nothing, pisses me off more than when a guy gets ejected in college. Like, he's not trying to hurt him. This guy, more than likely, 95% of these players are never going to play in the NFL. You kick them out of one of their games? God, that pisses me off. And in the NFL, like, no one's trying to hurt anyone. We get it. This isn't 2015 anymore. Will Smith ain't shooting some movie that not a soul's going to watch. So let's pull back on the penalties a little bit. Because I think we all agree, like, everyone's on the same page. We're all playing the game in a much safer manner. And the Bears, yeah, usually when you bottom out, and I think that's what you guys are kind of going to do this year, you have a young quarterback. So you want to see him show signs of life. And there's no way to quantitate it or quantify it, excuse me, right? There's not like a completion percentage or amount of touchdowns. You just kind of know it when you see it. And, you know, through a couple games, I'm pretty impressed. I mean, his team stinks, and he's just running around making some plays, and you just got to hope. I think it continues. I found you through Colin's feed, and I love your no BS takes. I've been a Steeler fan since Bettis. Looking at the game this Sunday against the Pats, Mitch was dinking down to his check man or throwing short all game long with one or two shots, I think 20-plus yards down the field. Interested in your take on how Mitch, our OC, the line, contributed to an offense that couldn't get going. I've said this from the beginning. Trubisky is physically gifted. Like, he can run around. He's got a decent arm. He's not a very... I was talking about Trey not having good instincts. Well, Mitch, one-year starter in college, he's not very instinctive. Like, you watch him, you go, what is he doing? And he's just not a natural football player. Like, listen, is Jalen Hurts a perfect player? No, he's a natural football player. Do I love Kyler's body language? No, it's gross. But Kyler's a pretty natural football player. Like, it comes natural playing the game. It feels like, yeah, this guy belongs on a football field. I watch Mitch Trubisky, I go, I don't know, man. I feel like this guy's an athletic guy trying to be a quarterback. That's kind of the vibe I get watching Trey Lance. It's like, Jimmy Garoppolo got some flaws. He's probably the 15th best quarterback in the NFL. But he's a natural quarterback. Like, it looks normal watching him play, even with his flaws. Hell, I'd say the same thing with Cousins. Cousins has some limitations, but it feels like he has an understanding of the position. When I watch Mitch, I go, I just don't see it. I've never saw it. And it's easy to go, Matt Nagy's an idiot. No, I actually think Matt Nagy's not. I think Mitch was terrible. I really do. And I think you guys are Steeler fans are going to learn that, and you'll be calling for Kenny Pickett as I'm sure as you are right now. So I would just put Kenny Pickett in there and see what happens, like immediately. But he's not going to do that until he probably loses another game or two. Appreciate everyone listening. Share the pod with your friends. Share them with your enemies. I appreciate all you guys. So talk to everyone soon. Peace.
Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash. Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.